You've joined us here at the Queen's Ministry, our weekly Sunday morning Bible study, and we want to welcome you and thank God for you for joining us. We're in our series on So Stand Firm in the Lord, found in Philippians 4, verses 1 through 9. We're going to be discussing continually for the next several weeks on this topic. And so we invite you to come along with us. And if you desire more information, we ask that you call our church office and someone would be able to share with you our previous lessons and also where we are. So thank God today for this opportunity to share God's word with those who are listening. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for watching over us and keeping us. We pray, Lord God, that you continue to bless us. Open our hearts and our minds, Father, that we may receive just what you have for us. Help us, Lord God, to get understanding, to gain wisdom and knowledge. Lord God, that we get to know you better and to know ourselves even better and how we are to be and who you say that we are and that we may walk in that way. Bless this word today. Give us clarity of thought, clarity of speech. Bless the hearers, Lord God, that we may become doers. And Lord God, we just ask your presence in this setting, that you would come in with your quickening power, that your presence may be felt among the people, no matter how far away we may be from one another, that you would draw us close to one another, that we all may be blessed together as we sit together in one mind in listening and gaining and growing in your word. Thank you now, Father, for this opportunity. It's our prayer indeed in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Again, you're listening to our weekly Bible study here at the Queen's Ministry, and I'm Elder Mary Ellis, and I'm thankful today that you have joined with us. If you have your Bible or whatever form of electronic devices you may have, join with us as we go to our Bible so that we can share with you the Word of God. Again, our text or our narrative is going to be found in Philippians 4, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to read that in your hearing, the New King James Version. While you gather your Bible, I'll be reading to you. Philippians 4, 1 through 9 says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore you, Odiah, and I implore Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praiseworthy thing, meditate on these things, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Praise God. So the writer of this particular letter, we would refer to it as a book in the Bible in the New Testament section. The writer Paul is writing to this church in Philippi. He's writing to the Philippian church, and he's giving them instructions. He's encouraging them, and he's even taking the time in this letter, in this book, to rebuke some of the members. Again, let's go back to our lesson we had this morning in our worship experience. The ministry of reconciliation is important in the lives of believers, that we will be able to overcome our differences so that the work of ministry, the work of Christ, the work of God, the work of kingdom can continue. As long as there is this mentality in the body that I don't have to deal with you or I don't have to work with you, we're not going to be, what did the teacher say this morning? We won't be in partnership. And that's not what the Lord wants. He wants us all to be in partnership so that we can work together, be reconciled, work through our differences so that we can further the gospel of Jesus. So Paul says in his letter to the Philippian church, I have some things I want to share with you. And we're at now this point in the letter where he's given instructions to the church. He says in this section of the letter, there are certain things I want you to know. I want you to concentrate on so that you can stand firm in the Lord, or you can stay fast, hold on in the Lord. What are those things, Paul? Well, Paul says, I want you to be united. I want you to be joyful. I want you to be exemplary. I want you to be prayerful, and I want you to check your thinking. Amen. So Paul is encouraging the church with these mindset to help the church, to help the believers to stay faithful and to stand firm in the Lord. So we've gone over in previous lessons being united. We've gone over being joyful. And now we find ourselves at the point where Paul says, be exemplary. So let's start right there. We're going to go to verse number 5 in Philippians. I'll give you a chance to get there. Philippians 5. Verse 5, we're in Philippians 4. We're going to start today around verse 5. So I'll allow you to get there. And Paul, from our lesson, we see Paul is talking to the church, to the readers of this particular letter, thusly us. He's talking to the church, and in verse 5, he says this. He says, I want you to be examples of Christ living in you. I'm going to say that once more again. Paul is saying, I want you to be examples of Christ living in you. Let your moderation be known unto all men. What is that? Let your example of living in me be known to all men. Be an example of Christ living in you. Isn't that for us today, saints? We need to be in the world. And Bishop pointed out today something that many of us may not even have thought of, that Joe Biden was letting his living of Christ living in him be an example to the world. Because I'm sure, and forgive me for saying this if it's incorrect, but I'm sure our president would not have shown such grace and been an example of overcoming any type of differences he may have had with someone that he would be able to bring them in his camp and hold them close. I don't think he would have been able to show that as an example to us. My. But we do see that in the life of someone like a Joe Biden. And here Paul is saying to us, be an example of Christ living in you. Number 2, he also goes on to say, let your gentle spirit, that's right, let your gentle, your spirit of moderation, your spirit of kindness, let that gentle spirit be known to all men. Don't show your ugly side. Come on here. And I know sometimes it rears its ugly head and we have to kind of take a deep breath to send it back down into the depths of our soul. But what we need to do on a regular basis is to let our gentle spirit be known to all men. Remember, sometimes how we act is an influence, a great influence on others. And if we are not showing the right side of ourselves, then we can turn away others by our action, our words, and our deeds. So, Paul says, let your gentle spirit be known to not just a few select people, but all, A-L-L, all people. Amen? That means you don't turn it on and off. Come on here and give it to the people you like, and then the people you don't like, you don't give them your gentle spirit. That's not how to be. All is means everyone, all inclusive. We don't want to be guilty, y'all, of, and I hear it sometimes being said about Christians, but we don't want to be guilty, y'all, of showing kindness and mercy and grace and gentleness to the outside world and then treating our family as if they don't count and giving them the rough side of our mountain. We don't want to be guilty of that. So we need to be able to show that to all people, family included. Say to yourself right now, wherever you may be, family included. Amen. Let's move on. Number three, he is telling them, Paul, the writer, is telling them to show forth graciousness. Yes, that's what that moderation, that spirit of gentleness is about. Being gracious, being kind and courteous. Yes, he's telling them to show forth graciousness and unselfishness. That's right. We can't be selfish and talk about we're brothers and sisters in Christ. The Bible says that we're not supposed to be selfish, but selfless, meaning we are to think of more highly of others and to see where we can be a blessing or a help to others. So Paul is saying here, show forth graciousness and unselfishness and mercy and tolerance and patience. Let me repeat that list again. We are on number three. Paul is saying to the readers, show forth graciousness, show forth unselfishness, show forth mercy, show forth tolerance, and show forth patience. I'm giving you time to write it down because I know I've given you some big words there. So I'm giving you time to write it down. But these are the items that Paul is saying to the readers. He says, I want you to be gracious and kind and unselfish and merciful and tolerant and patient. Sometimes we don't show forth that. And again, sometimes our family is the one who bears the brunt of our ungentle spirit. Am I right about that? So let's be careful how we treat our family. Amen? All right, let's move on to number four. In other words, Paul is saying, exhibit the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Now, those of us that have been a part of the Bible Weekly Bible Breakfast Fellowship for a while, you know that we've already studied the fruit of the Spirit. So Paul is saying here, I want you to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. I want you to exhibit these qualities in your life. What are the fruit of the Spirit? Well, I'm glad you asked. We know in allowing the Holy Spirit to take more residence up in our lives, we should show forth evidence of Him living in us, and that evidence is the fruit of the Spirit in us. What are some of the attributes? Well, we should see love, joy, peace, patience or long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, or temperance should be a part of our makeup. Now, we find this listing in Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Again, this is another book or letter written by the author, the Apostle Paul. And again, he is encouraging readers and believers to take on this mindset of Christ. That's what this message is all about today. Be of the same mind of Christ. And exhibit, let me go through the list once more again. And exhibit love, joy, peace, patience or long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, or temperance should shine forth in our lives. Can I get an amen, somebody? Amen. Praise God. These are the qualities that we should be striving for. Amen. These are the attributes that we should imitate in our lives found in our Savior. Wonderful. And again, if you want to read the listing of the fruit of the Spirit, then I lead you to the book of Galatians in the 5th chapter, starting around the 22nd verse. Amen? So, Paul goes on and reminds the readers that the Lord is near. We need to be mindful of that also, that the Lord is near. Let me say that again. Paul reminds the readers that the Lord is near. That's right. He's not far away, not listening, not paying attention to us. He is near. He is near. And so that's why it is important for us, one, to be on our best behavior. Two, that when we can't be on our best behavior or when we're in need, that the Lord is near. That he is available for us. He is there to help us, to guide us, to direct us, to comfort us, and to watch over us. So we serve a God that wants to be a part of our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. That's good news, y'all. That is good news for us to know that God is alive and near for us to call on in our time of need. Somebody shout out, praise the Lord. Amen. All right, so Paul has given us in Philippians, the 4th chapter, these words or these instructions on how to behave and how to be. And we're in the section on how to be an example. But the Bible supports itself. The Bible supports the thought that we are to be example and how we can be that example. So we're going to walk through these scripture verses here for the next few moments. And again, I ask if you have your Bible to read along as we journey through the Bible. So I'm going to ask everybody that can go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and we're going to go to verses 1 and 2. Go to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 1 and 2. When you arrive there, go on and say amen. Praise God. I'm going to read to you that those verses. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. All right, that was a version that's very familiar to many of us because that was the King James Version. And I just like the way it kind of rung in the air as we were saying it. So what is that verse saying to us in particular to this church, to the membership? He saying into the church of Ephesus to walk in love. That's it. Walk in love and to imitate God's love. How? Well, be givers. Come on. He showed right there that he gave an offering. Jesus was an offering given to us by God. Amen. God the Father. And then sometimes our giving and sometimes even in our living, there might be sacrifice. So our love may be a love where we have to show forth sacrifice. But Paul says, walk in love. The type of love that imitates God's love. Oh my goodness, isn't that wonderful? I'm praising God today for the messages that he has given us in his word, that if we would just show forth love, whole lot of things, amen, would be better in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now let's go to 2 Peter 1. give you time to get there, but let's all head over to 2 Peter chapter 1. When you get it, come on somebody, say amen. 2 Peter 1, and we're going to look at the 5th verse, but I also want to include verses 6 and 7. I know I didn't give that to you on your lesson, but jot down verses 5 through 7, because this is what I like to call the building blocks of our faith. And so with that, we get to learn what is that we can add on to make us even better. All right, so join with me as I read 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith, come on, goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, 7, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. There's that word again, love. So what is the writer, Peter, saying to us? He says, well, to your faith, that should be your foundation, to your belief in Jesus Christ, add what? Virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. I'm going to repeat the list, but you can always go back to 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7 and jot down the list. Let me repeat it in your hearing. To your faith, to what's already should be there, add virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly love, brotherly kindness, and love. Amen. Yes. So we see that there is a continual working in our lives to be what? An example by our attributes, by our characteristics, by our makeup. So we can't walk around saying, I'm just who I am. No, that ain't gonna fly no more. Because the Bible is saying we are new creations, new creatures. And so with that, we have given instructions on how to stay and maintain being those new creations and new creatures. Amen, somebody. Let's move on. Psalms 41 is where we're going next. Everybody that can join us in Psalms selection 41. Psalms 41, and we're going to pick up at verse 12. Psalms 41, verse number 12. I'll give you a few seconds to get there. Psalms 41, verse 12. Okay, verse 12 says, because of my integrity, ooh, Jesus, because of my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Because of my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. So how can we show forth being an example? Well, the writer here says we must have integrity. Woo, yes, it's right there. It's in the Bible. You just read it. You heard me read it. Integrity. What's integrity? Integrity is the quality of being honest, having strong moral principles, being ethical, and upright. Wow. Let me say that one more again. What's integrity? Integrity is the quality of being honest, having strong moral principles, being ethical and upright. Amen. What's some of the identifiers of someone having integrity? Come on, let me share with you. Well, someone that has integrity is gracious, is respectful, is honest, is trustworthy, is a hard worker, is responsible, is helpful, and is patient. Don't some of these attributes sound familiar? I know they do. We just went over some of them in our lesson today. And the Bible is full of attributes that resemble this listing. But someone, repeat, someone that has integrity show forth these qualities. They're gracious. They're respectful. They're honest. They're trustworthy. They're hardworking. They're responsible. They are helpful, and they are patient. Oh my goodness, that is so good. Praise God. So when you meet someone that has integrity, you should see some of these qualities emulating from them. All right. And so what it says to us is we need to check ourselves. Come on. And see if we are a person of integrity. And how can you know? Well, here's a good test for you. I'm glad you asked. Well, you are a person of integrity if you are willing to do what is right, get this, when no one is looking. Go ahead and shout. I know you got it. Come on. Yes, you are a person of integrity when you are willing to do what is right when not even no one else, a soul, is looking at you. That's a person of integrity. Come on, we're going to move on. We don't want to get stuck there. We can spend all the rest of our time on that. But that is something to think about. Amen. Let's go back to Ephesians. Go back to the New Testament. Ephesians 4 is where we're going to land now. Go to Ephesians 4. When you have it, say amen. Go to Ephesians 4. Give me a few moments to get there. My phone is doing some crazy things here. And I'm trying to get to it, but it seems like it's going to act up, so I don't want to. I don't want to mess up what we got going on, so let me finish out right now here by saying Ephesians 4 says that we are to show kindness, be tenderhearted, and forgiving. Let me repeat that. Ephesians 4 and 32 says that we are to show forth kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. Amen. Praise God. So how can we be an example? By being kind, being merciful, that's tenderhearted, and showing forth forgiveness. All right, these are repeat again. And forgiveness is a big item for us as Christians. We need to be able to forgive. Amen? Good. Let's go to our last verse. Our last verse is found in 1 Peter. Yes, let's go to 1 Peter. And 3. 1 Peter and 3, and we're going to go to verse 8. And I've got my Bible back up again. And so I'm going to read it in your hearing. And it reads, 1 Peter 3 and 8 says, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, and humble. Verse number 9 I want to read in your hearing says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Amen. So the writer of 1 Peter 3 and 8 is saying to us, be on one accord. Be on one accord. And we know that means to be of one mind or like mind. And then he goes on to say, be compassionate, show forth brotherly love. Again, that word tenderhearted, or be merciful. And then, saints, be courteous. Don't be rude. Don't be disrespectful. Don't try to pay somebody back the same way they got you. Don't try to be revengeful. Don't try to get somebody back. Don't try to pay them back by doing wrong because you were wrong. But no, show forth love. Again, we're reminded that we are examples. And because we are called, there it is, that word right in there. You saw it and you heard me read it. You are called to be examples. You have to act in that manner and be exemplary. All right? I know I gave you a whole lot today, and I know you got a lot to chew on and to meditate on, so we're going to end our lesson right there. So I want to give everyone that has joined us here in our Bible Breakfast Fellowship time to say hello and to greet us. And so I want to stop right there in the section of be exemplary, be an example. And you see there are qualities, attributes, and characteristics of the saints, of the believers that need to imitate God, imitate Christ. That's why Paul encouraged the church, the Philippian church, be of the same mind as Christ. I want to leave that thought with you today. Be of the same mind as Christ. I know it's difficult for us sometimes because we're in the flesh, but we need to just submit more and more of ourselves to the Holy Spirit leading and guiding, and we're going to strive to be who God says we are. Thank you again for joining us here at the Bible Breakfast Fellowship under in the Queen's Ministry. I'm so thankful for you. May God bless you. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your presence, and we pray that your word may find a lodging place in our hearts, that we may grow and become the better and be who you say we are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Come on, somebody say amen. We're going to open